Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 171, recorded October 13th, 2014. Print the legend. Triangulation is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have your whole financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/triangulation. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of Legal Plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TRIANGULATION to receive $10 off at checkout. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa prepaid card when you get a loan. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get together with some of the smartest, most interesting people in technology and talk about what they're up to. We got an interesting one today. Joining us right now, Luis Lopez, director Stephen Klein, producer of a new documentary that's appearing on Netflix called Print the Legend. Stephen, Luis, welcome. It's good to have you on Triangulation.
Thank you very much, Leo.
Did I reverse your titles?
We may not be the smartest, but we're filmmakers.
Oh, good.
I was just going to say, who's joining us who's among the smartest and most interesting people? But
hey, it's a little puffery. It's okay. It's not going to hurt. Let's take a look. This is the trailer from Netflix of Print the Legend, which is available now for free on Netflix streaming.
Everybody thought home computers were a really, really cool thing that only nerdy people were ever going to be into. 3D printers are on that same kind of arc.
We're out to fuel the next industrial revolution by putting the power to manufacture things in your hands.
3D printing has the potential to revolutionize the way we make almost everything.
Some of the developments that come from the 3D printer might put the first person to create that device on the pedestal of major social innovator.
Every day I get inspired by people who have MakerBots and are doing amazing things.
He grew up in an entrepreneurial household, so he saw things getting produced.
People who run successful small technology companies pretty much have to be crazy.
When we started, we were the only one. Now we've got the big guys, and then we've got lots of small guys that think we're the big guys.
Form Labs basically started in the basement of the house that David and I were living in.
I thought, this is a quintessential geek we are bringing up, obsessed with what he's doing.
If you're a leader, every day there is something new that comes up and smacks you in the face.
Welcome to the age of the printed magazine.
I'm going to introduce you to one of the most dangerous men on Earth.
We're information anarchists. There should be one law. If the police can have it, if the military can have it, then you can have it.
Somebody gets murdered with a MakerBotted handgun, then what happens, right?
His iron rule, we don't talk about 3D printed guns, period.
We didn't have to say, this is our response to the gun thing. It was just, hey, look at this.
RoboHand was worth talking about. Did it get half the pickup of the DefCat stuff? Controversy sells.
We were all inventing what was going to come next.
A great partner will turn into a horrible enemy. A company you've never heard of before will come out with something that changes the game.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Stephen and Luis, welcome to Triangulation. That is pretty exciting. And, you know, it's funny because so many of those people have been on this show, including Bree Pettis. So it's kind of fun to see something that we've watched from the beginning as an emerging technology now be, I mean, memorialized in a documentary. It must be real. Were you guys into this stuff before you, how did you come up with the idea for the film? And who, which of you?
Neither of us were particularly into 3D printing. The genesis of the film came about when one of our producers, Chad Troutwine, was developing a documentary about Apple, and brought it to Seth Gordon, who's another producer on the film. And he brought us, and we got involved with trying to develop a documentary about Apple. And and as we were doing that, we kind of thought of the idea of, would it be cool to see a documentary about Steve Jobs and Woz, you know, in the late 70s, 80s? And could we apply that model to now and try to find the company or the technology or the folks that are going to bring us, you know, the type of technology in the future now? And so after spending some time investigating, we thought 3D printing had a really interesting story around it. It was growing like crazy. And so we thought that would make for a great documentary.
Bunch of people in our chat room have already seen it. I guess they must have known you were going to come on, or maybe it's just because they're geeks and they knew about it, but they've seen it and they say it is really great to see. And I apologize, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to watch it tonight.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I feel like it's really easy when you're to say history has happened in the past, but we're present at the making of history right now and this revolution. And so what a great topic for documentarians to say, let's see if we can find the next thing and make sure we get this on film, or whatever you call it these days, on hard drive, before it is history, the making of this stuff. But I have a feeling you might have been a little surprised by the arc that story took.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for the way we approach filmmaking is we try to kind of immerse ourselves in the space and the culture, in this case, the companies, and see what happens. So we were absolutely surprised as a lot of the developments with all the folks involved in the documentary.
Although in some ways I probably validated your vision, because, you know, I hope I'm not spoiling the ending, but MakerBot does get acquired by a giant 3D printing company to accusations of selling out. And it really does validate this is about to explode onto the scene.
Yeah, we were completely unsure of what would happen. And mm-hmm. one of the scary things about the way we make docs is that while we're in the early stages and even the mid and late stages of filming, we don't know how the film will end or exactly what will happen. That event, which I think many people in your community will know about from the news,
right.
Was the moment when we said, okay,
wow,
no matter what, the movie has an ending. And allowed us to kind of start to shape the film and get a sense of what we could arc it towards.
That's how documentaries work often, though. You don't really know what the story's going to end up being when you start shooting, because you have to shoot from the beginning. You can't get the tape later and say, oh, now that we know there was a story here. So there is a little bit of a gamble, isn't it, when you embark on a project?
Absolutely. And I think you initially, even before we were in the 3D printing space, we were looking around different space, virtual or augmented reality.
Right.
We spent a little bit of time there.
Right.
We spent some time at hacker hostels and incubators.
That's going to be big. Yep.
Feeling it out. And so I think we sort of cast our net wide. And as things sort of, we feel sort of the heat in particular directions, we move there. And even with the different folks, we kind of, as the stories develop, we focus a little bit more there. But you don't know where it's going to go, but that's the fun and exciting part of it, that we're surprised as much as the people living it and the people watching it.
Yeah, and we were, you know, when Chad came to us and Seth came to us with the basic idea, you know, we felt like the Steve Jobs story and the Apple story had been really well told by a number of people, among them Walter Isaacson and his biography, and Adam Leshinsky and his book about Apple. And so the idea, but we loved those things, and we loved the idea that who Steve Jobs had become as a kind of archetype in the technology community is somebody every startup references, who's the Woz and who's the Jobs. Mm-hmm. As we saw that play out in all those places, in the hacker hostels and the incubators and everywhere, this idea that there might be a way to find some people pursuing those paths as a way to both explore Apple and their impact on the culture and startup culture in general today.
You mentioned Chad Troutwine, who is an entrepreneur and your co-producer on this. Did he come to you and say, hey, we want to do something about technology? Was that where the impetus for this?
Yeah, absolutely. It was specifically Apple, yeah.
He was the guy who came up with the Apple idea, yeah.
Yeah.
And as all technology startups, you had to pivot.
Exactly. Just like a startup.
It's the business.
Steven can speak to this. We feel like anytime we do a film, it's like a startup. It's the same sort of process. So we really related to seeing these companies do the same thing. We have the same sort of archetypes and paradigms or similar ones as like a startup.
Yeah. What other? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that was one of the things we did a presentation. You can find it online at South by Southwest, where we premiered the film at their film festival. They also have an entrepreneurship conference called V2V, and we did a presentation there about that exact thing. It was called How a Documentary About Startups is a Startup.
Right.
And we really, one of the things we were surprised by is we thought going in, as we were entering your world of tech startups and technologies and business, that we would be outsiders, that as artists, we would sort of not know how to really speak to and relate. But we instantly discovered, oh, this is the same as the world we came up in of, you know, young, visionary, idealistic, right, passionate people with ideas they hope will change the world for the better. And navigating, the challenge comes in to navigating how you turn those ideas into reality, which involves the marketplace, and that makes you question your ideals and their importance and all of that. And that's where the human drama comes in.
And by the way, won a special jury recognition award for editing and storytelling at South By. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That must have attracted Netflix attention.
Yes. When we went to South By Southwest, Netflix, I think I'd seen the film right before that. Right, Stephen?
Yeah, it was a day or two before that. They were a primary hopeful target of ours to partner with. So we showed it to them just before the public premiere.
How neat. We're talking and having fun, too, doing it with Stephen Klein and Luis Lopez, the producer and director, respectively, of Print the Legend, which has just debuted on Netflix, a story of 3D printing. We'll talk more about that story in just a second. But first, let's talk a little bit about personal capital. Personal capital. It's free, totally secure. I know sometimes people go, I don't know if I want to use it. You trust me. The system they use is absolutely secure, completely trustworthy, and it really helps you with keeping an eye on what's going on with your money. You really do need to do that. It's a challenge. Your bank account's in one place, different login for your savings, your investments, your house, mortgage, all that stuff. If you could get it all in a single, easy-to-use dashboard and take a look at what you're doing and then get advice on how to take the money that you make and invest it for your future, wouldn't that be awesome? Personal capital. It brings all your accounts and assets into a single screen. And it's, by the way, it's, of course, your desktop, but also your phone and tablet. They've got free apps. Really is sweet. In fact, they even have an Android Wear component so that you can get notifications on your Android Wear watch. I'm loving that. They have a real devotion to making it easy for their clients, their customers, to keep an eye on their money, to invest properly, not to overpay in fees, get tailored advice in optimizing their investment. Signing up just takes a minute, and it'll pay big dividends. It's absolutely free. And if you want to know how they make money, in a couple of ways, mostly because you can get investment advice from them. They have certified financial planners not working on commission, and so they are absolutely in your corner to give you advice. But also occasionally you'll see, you know, hey, we see your loan rate is this. You could get a better loan rate. This is a really an unobtrusive and a clever way to make a business out of this. So don't worry about that. You're going to like it. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation really is free, and that's nice. The smart way to grow your money. We thank Personal Capital so much. They're so good. This all started because I interviewed Bill Harris on this show way back when. Stephen Klein, Luis Lopez are our guests. I want to talk a little bit about the story in the movie, but I'm fascinated by how the movie got made, or the documentary, how it got made, and Netflix participation is very interesting. They have an exclusive on it, right?
That's correct, yes.
So are you happy about that? Is that a good thing? I guess for a documentary, you can't get bigger release.
It's amazing. I mean, I everyone I know has Netflix,
right,
and it's just amazing that you can make something and at a push of a button, it's available everywhere. And I say to my mom in Mexico, you can watch the movie right now on the 26th. And so
neat?
She's been able to watch it, and it's a really great place. And it's been a wonderful experience for us, and a privilege to have our film that readily available.
Yeah. I mean, they have more subscribers now than HBO. So you really couldn't do better.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think they also really get the film in part because they are a technology startup that is becoming a film studio.
Right.
So they really understand personally what it means, what the challenges are in growing something from a garage to an industrial player.
Yeah.
And so I think they like the film for that reason, and that was exciting for us. And it also, you know, when you see the film, there are some things that happened in the last few weeks.
Yeah. No, this the acquisition happened in the last few weeks of shooting.
No, but there are some other changes.
The Cody Wilson stuff.
Your community probably already knows this.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm not ruining anything. But there were some changes to the leadership at MakerBot in literally the last few weeks.
Wow.
And we were able to make that change at the very end of the movie and slip it into the film. And that's only possible because we're distributing through a mechanism like Netflix.
Right.
So we just have to change that portion of the digital file and they can transmit it all over the world.
So how did you shoot this?
Well, essentially there's three of us. Clay, who's not here, who's a co-director. And
Clay Tweel.
Clay Tweel and Steven produced. So we just sort of packed up our cameras and we lug them around and we shoot and we hang out and we move around. So it's a really small crew. It's just three of us. And but I think that allows for a lot of flexibility in continuing to shoot and having a small footprint and one that allows for some intimacy. So yeah, just three of us jumping on planes and hanging out.
And what kind of cameras?
We use a C300.
Uh-huh.
And C100 primarily.
I'm jealous. And then, those are so cool. These are the Canon cinema cameras.
Yes, they're amazing. We
everybody's using these now, by the way. I think that when the 5D came out and people realized you could shoot incredible high-quality video using incredible lenses, it was a revelation, but they only shot small chunks. You had to buy all this equipment to put around it. So Canon, I remember we saw these at CES, released these cinema cameras, the 300 and the 100. Very expensive, but boy, are they great.
Well, it's amazing because they're great cameras. And we travel basically with three of us. We each have one checked bag. I mean, one carry-on bag.
That's amazing.
That we use.
You don't even check it. You carry it on. Wow.
Oh, for sure, just to protect it. And those three bags include our lighting and our sound and our two cameras. And that's enough to, like, that's the equivalent of what used to take a, you know, 2.5-ton grip truck to accomplish.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty amazing what you can do now.
You use LED lights? What do you use?
That's right.
Yeah.
Couple of panel lights, LED lights, and you know, there's a little trade off on quality, but we're flexible, we're fast, so you can set it up, you can break it down, you can go elsewhere on the same day,
right?
But a couple of LED panels.
And what kind of lenses? I apologize. Probably you don't get this kind of questioning most of the time.
No, it's fine.
Our audience wants to know.
Yeah, we used the still lenses. We didn't have the.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford the cinema lenses, which are amazing and beautiful.
But so the still we just lenses had aren't still bad. Lenses. Yeah.
Yeah. And just carried a couple lenses, like a 16 to 34.
I have that lens. I love that. The L1635L. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe
that's your wide angle.
That's our wide
you
angle.
You shoot it mostly that. I guess with a documentary, that's probably the most flexible. You can get right in there.
It is.
Get the whole scene.
Only for a sit down, we might bring in like an 85, and if we know it's just going to be a sit down. But otherwise, a 16-35, when we're moving around and jumping around, and it's, you know, it sucks in a lot of light, so we can do some low light stuff, and yeah, just really we're going for flexibility and quickness more often than, you know, make it really look nice. Although we love for it to look nice.
Well, it does. I mean, I just in the trailer. I think nowadays people don't make the distinction anymore. They don't know if you were shot on film or shot digital, shot with consumer grade lenses. It looks great.
I think in the end, storytelling is trumps sort of the aesthetic. Although it's all part of the same thing. But I think for us, we really try to weigh in on or lean on the storytelling part of it as much more than the aesthetic.
I want to ask you how you chose the subjects, how you knew where this was going, because you picked very well, but we're going to take a break. We're talking with Luis Lopez, the director, Stephen Klein, producer, one of the producers of a documentary, which is now available on Netflix and a must watch, I'm told, by everybody in the chat room who's going crazy over this, about the 3D printing revolution and covering it really at the ground floor of the revolution, which is exciting. It's called Print the Legend. I actually want to ask you what that means, what the title means when we come back. But first, a word from LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is a, for me, has been an amazing experience because when we first started the business, we couldn't afford lawyers, but there were certain things I needed to do to protect myself and to protect the business. And I'm really glad. I actually asked Kevin Rosen. He suggested, he said, get it, make an LLC. And he said, do it with LegalZoom. Don't go get a lawyer. He said, make sure you trademark your brand. We did that. Make sure you trademark your logo. We did that. And it was affordable then. It's affordable now. If you're about to start a business, you should know about LegalZoom.com. If you haven't yet done the will thing or the durable power of attorney for health care, you really need to. LegalZoom.com makes it easy. They're not a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction, but they also can get you legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services. So the idea is with the LegalZoom legal plan, they've pre-negotiated flat rate, very affordable fees with attorneys in your state. You can choose the attorney by profile and unedited customer reviews, so you get the best person for you. And occasionally, as you're doing this, you know, I was doing the LLC, I was saying, well, maybe the first question, LLC or Chapter S or Chapter C Corp, what should you choose? So that might be a reasonable one. I asked Kevin, but if you don't have a Kevin Rose to hand, that might be one where you would ask a legal plan attorney. Or what state should you incorporate in? I decided Delaware, but there's good reasons for incorporating in your state versus Delaware. Anyway, these are all very useful things, and it's very affordable, very easy. Find what you want. We just started doing the will kit from LegalZoom. They sent you the nicest kit, all the documentation. It couldn't be easier. Dare I say it's even fun. It's actually kind of fun, and boy, it sure feels good after you've done it to know you've taken care of your family, you've taken care of your business. LegalZoom.com. Visit LegalZoom.com. And if you do me a favor, use the offer code TRIANGULATION if you buy. You'll get $10 off at checkout, and they'll know you heard about it here. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. You can get legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services at your direction, but they're not a law firm. I want to make that clear. They actually were founded by some of the best legal minds in the country. We thank LegalZoom for their support. Stephen Klein, Luis Lopez are joining us, talking about their new documentary about the 3D printing revolution, Print the Legend. Where's the title Print the Legend come from? What does that mean?
Print the Legend. Go ahead, Stephen.
It's a reference to the man who shot Liberty Vance, the great Western that we love. And there's a line at the end about, see if I can get it on the spot.
Print the film.
No,
when the legend becomes fact.
When the legend becomes fact.
Print the legend.
Print the legend.
And it's a little bit about...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And we had wanted to use that.
It's a great play on words.
Yeah. And we'd wanted to use that. And then, of course, you know, there's a great line in the film about someone saying, print that. And that sort of gave us the way in to use it.
The man who shot Liberty Valance. When the... What is it? When
the legend becomes
legend
fact.
Becomes fact, print
the legend. Love that. You can go to printthefilm.com. That's the website to find out more about it. And there is a great, I love this, 3D rendering of a quarter dollar with it. What looks, it says in Steve Jobs we trust, but if you scroll up, eventually you see quite clearly it's Bree Pettis of MakerBot. I'm a big fan of Bree. How did you know who to pick, who to cover in this? I mean, I guess it's pretty obvious you start with Brie.
Yeah, I think when we were thinking about the parallels between Apple and 3D printing, you know, the idea that, or the PC revolution where mainframe technology was starting to migrate over to desktop personal computing, we saw the same thing happening in the 3D printing space. And Brie, very early on, his face was on the cover of Wired magazine,
right,
with the title, This Machine Will Change the World. And that caught our attention. And we were like, cool, who is this guy? And what is this machine? And how is that different? And so, like you mentioned, Brie was a natural sort of a place to start. So that's how we found Brie. And we actually met him at Stephen, you guys shot with him before CES. And then yeah. I met him at CES. Not long after that, and then also Formlabs was very hot in the news once their Kickstarter campaign raised $3 million. And that was a pretty big news. And so we were like, what's going on with these guys? And we like the idea of crowdfunding. It's also something that's very distinct from, let's say, the PC era, where people are now raising money themselves. And so that was a really interesting spin on what was going on with them.
Formlabs is very happy. They have a big link on their webpage to the documentary. And
oh, they do. Great.
Max. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they feel like you did right by them. I can tell.
Well, that was all Netflix actually choosing that still, but yeah, we also, you know, and your audience is more informed than most about this world, and so it's worth saying that, you know, because we were trying to make a 90-minute film that ultimately is driven by people rather than it being, it's a story about people rather than the technology, teaching you about the technology.
As it has to be with a mainstream documentary.
We think so. It's certainly what we do best. And so we feel like it's important to say to people who know a ton about the 3D printing world that there are clearly things that are left out of our doc. Because we felt we needed to limit the scope in order to tell the story more deeply. So we focused on, at the time we were filming, the American companies that had sort of risen above the noise of the general, you know, CES floor, that were trying to push that Macintosh moment where this industrial technology would land on your desktop. And so at that time, those companies were really Formlabs, MakerBot, and 3D Systems. Stratasys had not yet entered the desktop market, and 3D and what that did was give us, It happened to also give us the benefit in the casting of those three companies that we had a sort of, in the life cycle of a company, we had the sort of very young company in Formlabs. We had MakerBot that was really just growing up into its young maturity, moving out of its original office into its first high rise. And we had 3D Systems, this big established corporate player that was entering the desktop market from the industrial side. And so that gave us a wide scope.
And we should say, this is the story of desktop 3D printing. I'm glad you made that distinction. 3D printing has been around for a long time in an industrial context. But desktop 3D printing is the Macintosh moment. It is the bringing it home moment. And I think you picked very well. You picked the right people. I am told Bree does not come off too well in this, however. Is that right?
I think it's, I mean, you know, ultimately, whether or not he thinks that you know, would be up to him to answer.
Right.
I think if you look at the Netflix user reviews, you'll see a pretty mixed reaction to that. You've got a lot of people who think he comes off great.
Right.
A lot of people on the Twitter, you know, verse who are tweeting how excited they are to now be tweeting with him because of Print the Legend. So both are happening, and that's what we want.
That's the internet right there in a nutshell.
Well, yeah, and hopefully, you know, I think one of the things that our team wanted was for the film is ultimately an investigation of the American dream and what it takes to succeed in the 21st century. And there are some things in that that I think we're a little critical of, but we're not critical of anything morally. You know, basically we think that the American dream myth, as we tell it, kind of whitewashes the fact that you have to make some pretty serious sacrifices to achieve at the level of an industrial leader like Bree has unquestionably done. And
what
and
a
I think
great
not,
way to
we're
put
not
it.
Honest about that. We're not honest about the sacrifice.
I think you're right.
You know, but it's morally neutral.
This is the truth of it.
Yeah.
And that's what a documentary needs to do. And you know what? I think you're right. I think it's a good way to handle the reviews, because there are people who love this and people in our chat room who say you must see. And then there are people who just, as usual on the internet, the literal net, the people who said you missed out on it, or I don't like your interpretation. But you can't take that seriously or personally, because I think this is how the sausage is made. This is the truth of it. And we all want the legend, but I think that's a great way to say it. These revolutions are messy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And there's different...
Cody Wilson.
All right, let's talk about Cody Wilson. Cody's the guy who came up with the gun, the 3D printed gun.
Yes, he is.
And stimulated a lot of controversy on both sides. I liked in the trailer the decision, or I thought that was interesting, the decision that MakerBot made. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting time when the Liberator came out, and we were there for when that was happening and when he uploaded the files onto the internet. And we really felt like, wow, this is something really important is happening here that might change the direction of where this technology goes. And it was an important moment, I think, for desktop 3D printing. I think most people, the general audience, when they hear about 3D printing, one of the first things that comes to mind is like, oh, yeah, isn't that that thing you can make a gun on? And I mean, that's how much of the conversation he took over with what he was doing.
Yeah, isn't that sad? But that's what you hope for as a documentarian, is to be the fly on the wall during these dramatic, important moments in the story. And you were there, which is great.
Ooh, it was great to be there.
Yeah. As you're shooting, you're going, yeah, keep going. I love this. You must.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that fortunately, it is a shame that that's what the public thinks of now when they think of 3D printing. But I think our audience understands that when you create a tool, it can be used in so many different ways. And you can't say, well, it can only be used for this, but not for this. This is what it does. It's a general purpose tool, like the internet is a general purpose tool, and you can't proscribe certain uses. These things happen.
Absolutely, like anything, a wrench.
Yeah.
If someone can take a wrench and bang someone's head with it,
right.
And it's like, well, that's not what it's meant for. But you can do that with it.
Do you think it pushed 3D printing back in the public's mind? Did it hurt it?
I probably think the other way. I think even though it's controversial, I think it opened up people's imagination and brought more of the conversation and dialogue to 3D printing. So I actually quite the opposite. It probably gave it a boost. People think like, wait, what? There's this magic box?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
What? And of course, Elon Musk recently mentioned that the engines on his rocket are 3D printed. So, you know, and then they showed that you show the prosthetic hand. I mean, there's all sorts of uses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The story Print the Legend is available now on Netflix. If you have Netflix, streaming went up September 26th. The reviews are mostly positive. 4.5 stars is about as good as you can get. So don't worry about the reviews. But they're very – I mean, people love this movie. But I think it's also telling to read the negative reviews. And you see, there's nothing you can get involved in these days in technology that doesn't polarize somehow. I don't know why that is, but that's something that –
Yeah, it's true. No, I actually we had a negative review that compared us to the Nazis, and I felt like, okay, well, now we
God
know
we've law.
Made it.
You've made it.
If
we're going to take a break, come back with more with our guests, Stephen Klein, Luis Lopez, the creators of Print the Legend, a brand new documentary available exclusively on Netflix. Netflix is so smart to get these exclusives. And, you know, this is so good, I think, for the documentary community, because it means there is a distribution channel that gets right into people's homes and millions of people can see your movie finally. That's so exciting. I want to talk a little bit about the struggle of the documentarian and how you began. You went to a lot of film festivals. You had I'm sure pound a lot of pavement. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Prosper.com. I love this idea. This is Silicon Valley's answer to the big bank loan, right? You don't have to put on pants, comb your hair, put on a necktie if you're a guy, and get a loan. You can actually get a loan online. Prosper is at what they call a peer-to-peer lending marketplace. So they connect. It's merely the connection between people who have money to lend and people who have money to borrow. What would you do if you could get, in the next 3 days, if you can get $35,000? As much as $35,000, pay off credit cards, do some home improvements, maybe start your own business, prosper.com/twit. There's an easy online application process. You don't have to give them all this information, just a few details, and you'll get an online rate quoted right away. So we like this. You know, it's very upfront. You know exactly what you're going to get. There are low fixed rates, unsecured loans, so you don't have to put up collateral. Multi-year terms are available, but you can find out the rate. You just go to prosper.com/twit and find out, and you'll get immediately the idea of not only what your rate's going to be. By the way, that rate, if you're watching the video on the screen, that's not the rate. That's just a sample. You have to actually fill out the form to find out what your rate's going to be. It could be higher, it could be lower, but it's unique to you, your credit history, and all that stuff. Prosper has over 2 million members now and $1 billion in loans funded. And the nice thing is, by the way, you see how simple this form is. If you fill this out, it does not affect your credit score. You're going to get a locked-in loan rate at prosper.com/twit. For a limited time, Prosper's offering Twit viewers a $50 prepaid Visa card when you get that loan. That's nice. Just fill out the form there and give them a date of birth, email address. They're not even asking your Social Security or anything like that. It really could not be easier. Prosper.com/twit. Get that quote now and get as much as $35,000 in the next 72 hours. Look at that. Love that. Prosper.com/twit. I like that $50 Visa card, too. And we thank them for their support of Triangulation. Our guests, producer, Stephen Klein, director, one of the two directors, Luis Lopez, of a brand new documentary about the desktop 3D printing revolution, Form Labs, MakerBot, featuring strongly in this. A lot of big news stories happened during the filming of this. You knew you had something great. Then you have to get it. What's the next step? You have to get distribution, right? Is that the goal?
Yeah, I mean, as a filmmaker, you really want to get your film out there and share what you've spent a lot of time doing. I mean, I think early on, festival-wise, we thought South by Southwest from very early on would be a great fit for the film, and it was. And as things developed, we thought, hey, if we could really land at Netflix, that's really huge. I mean, we want people to watch the film, and it's a great platform. It's got a built-in audience, and that distribution is absolutely the next step after finishing a film.
So what do? You go to film festivals. South by, of course, perfect, but you went to a lot of others too.
Yeah, for us, those festivals, you know, for most people, film festivals are cultural events. For us, they're marketplaces.
Right.
It's a place where we bring a finished product that we tried to make as cheaply as possible, and we try to sell it to a distributor for as much as possible, and that's where we make our living and make our investors their money. Yeah. Which is one of the ways it's like a little startup, right? Every film has its own little one product startup.
How interesting.
For us, South by Southwest was our main focus to sell the film. We sold it there to Netflix. And so festivals that have come after that have been part of the plan with Netflix for promoting the film worldwide.
I see. So now it's about promoting it.
Yeah.
I get it. So you sold it right away.
We did.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. And when you sell it, you just sell it outright, or do you sell it and get royalties? I guess how could you get royalties from Netflix? They're not selling it.
It's not royalties, and they're growing. I'm sure they will be in every country in the world at some point.
Right.
When they partnered with us, it was I think 41 countries.
So do you have the right to sell it in other countries as well?
We do. And that's happening now as well in those areas where Netflix hasn't yet come. We're attempting to sell it in those countries through some of the foreign festivals.
Yeah. Luis, the chat room saying you worked on the Freakonomics documentary with Stephen Dubner, who was a great hero of ours.
Yes.
Yeah. That must have been fun.
That was very cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chad Troutwine, who was a producer who was a genesis of this film, he also produced Freakonomics and worked on that film. And yeah, it was amazing. I'm a huge fan. I was a huge fan of the book. We got to work along with Clay as well, the other director, and Seth Gordon and Mary, the producers. We all worked on Freakonomics. It was great. We got to meet both those guys out in Chicago, and they took me to a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it was great. They had a lot of fun. Brilliant guys.
So did you go to film school to do this, Luis? How did you get involved in this?
I did go to film school. I went to USC.
Very good film school.
Yeah, I had a great time and studied production there. And Seth Gordon and I have worked on a lot of documentaries before this. We shot Shut Up and Sing with the Dixie Chicks. I think that was one of
the first ones.
And then we did King of Kong, I think not long after that.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of just kept working on documentaries. We love documentaries, and it was a great fit.
If you haven't seen King of Kong, that is a great story. So you think you're going to stick with kind of geeky subjects from now on? You've got a little niche. You got a little niche going.
That's funny. I don't know. Maybe I'm probably geeky and nerdy myself, so they're easy to relate to. But not specifically. I think all of us, actually, Stephen and Clay, we also worked on a magic Teenage Magician documentary, Make-Believe, and that's also a geeky sort of
subject.
There are no bigger nerds than magicians. Yeah. They're the nerdiest of them all, yeah.
Maybe we should have a documentary where, like, where there's a competition for the nerds, like magicians versus video game players.
Who's the
versus
nerdiest?
That's right.
Who's the nerdiest?
We're the nerdiest.
There's just been fascinating sort of subcultures of people who are passionate and they believe in what they do. And so that passion is really translates on film. You can see it. It jumps right off. So
yes, it's
maybe
a natural subject. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I think mainstream audiences are kind of fascinated in a almost morbidly fascinated with these subcultures and go, wow, there's people doing that, especially with the Kong. So are you going to move on? You got a new project, Stephen, or is this are you still working on selling this in the other 183 countries? Are you there? Oh, we lost him. He disappeared. I asked finally the hard question, and he threw down the mic and stomped off. How much longer do you work on this, Luis? Is it over for you now? Or
as far as all the heavy work, and heavy lifting. Yeah. And this is great. This is fun. I love talking about the film. Yeah. It's like you're locked up in a room for so long. Just by, you know, in our case, mostly Clay and I with Steven. And we have conversations about it all the time. And
give me a timeline. How long does it take each part of this process?
Well, the shooting was ongoing. And Clay and I were both edited the film, and we're editors. So it was all sort of happening on top of each other. We would shoot, come back, edit, go back and shoot. Okay. And the whole probably over a year and a half. A year to year and a half.
Wow.
But it was sort of like our shooting, our production is flexible since we shoot it and then we edit it as well.
Hard to edit. You're really doing a very rough cut in the first pass, right? Because you don't know what the whole story is yet.
Absolutely. At first, you're just kind of like getting the material and trying to get familiar with it and trying to see where it could go. And like Steven said earlier, it wasn't until late in the shooting where MakerBot and the Stratasys acquisition happened that we felt like, okay, this might be the trajectory of this story.
Right. Yeah. That's what you hope for. You got a story that there's an actual arc and stuff. And so you're probably waiting for something, some dramatic moment. You know the dramatic moments. You're waiting for a story, though.
You're waiting to see how it can all fit together and you can bring in sort of ideas and themes and events and things that make for I think great documentaries. And
Daniel the Tiger has run out.
Daniel the Tiger has run out. And my daughter now is here.
That's
next
fine.
To me.
That's fine. Have you thought about your next project yet?
Not quite yet. I'm sort of winding down and I've hoped to take. I turned 40 this week, so I hope to take a little bit of time and just take a breather.
Congratulations, that's great. We got Steven back. What are you working on next, Stephen, besides marketing this?
Yeah, marketing this, trying to get this out into the world. And we're actually taking our documentary about teen magicians and turning that into a stage musical. So that's fun.
What?
Yep. And
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a ton of fun. It's a long road, but a really fun one.
Yeah.
And I do theater and film. So I've just had a play in New York and now focusing on developing some fiction films.
Oh, that's great. What's the play in New York?
It's called Belfast Blues. It's a one-woman show off-Broadway with Geraldine Hughes. It's a great show.
How fun.
Yeah.
How fun. I think both of you, as do I, feel lucky to be doing something you deeply love and to be able to make a living doing it.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about these subcultures, and for me, it's just an opportunity to go and hang out and learn and ask questions. And it's like kind of like what you're doing. You get to talk to people.
It's the best thing in the world.
And learn and hang out and ask questions and... It's a privilege.
Yeah, and I don't have to do any editing. So I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Print the Legend. It's on Netflix. You can watch it free if you have Netflix streaming. If you don't, why not? $7.99. Come on. Cheapskate. Yeah. Maybe you don't have the internet speed or whatever. Go borrow some internet from your friend. We thank so much our guests. One of the two directors, Luis Lopez, and his partner, the producer, one of several producers, Stephen Klein, for joining us today on Triangulation. Good luck with the film, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leo.
Great to talk to you. Triangulation occurs every Monday. It occurs. It just happens. That's our new slogan. Triangulation happens. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can watch live. We love it if you do, because I get great suggestions. I'm pointing over here like you know where that is. That's the chat room over there. I get great suggestions from the chat room. And if you can't watch live, on-demand audio and video always available after the fact. Twit.tv/TRI, YouTube.com/triangulation, or wherever fun or netcasts are aggregated and distributed, like iTunes, as an example. Of course, our great Twit apps, too, on every platform, including Roku, thanks to our third-party developers for making that possible. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we have a good one, I think. Oh, Gareth Branwen. This is great. Gareth's my old buddy. Wrote the Jargon Watch for Wired magazine for a long time. Was a co-author on my TiVo book. And he has a new book about himself as a Borg. Right? What's it called? Something like I Am a Borg. No.
Sounds like a documentary.
It sounds like a documentary. Gareth's in a wheelchair, but it's a fascinating story. Anyway, we'll have Gareth Branwen, and that is going to be a lot of fun next week on Triangulation. Borg Like Me, it's called. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next
time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.